you for being here. I want to do an anonymous poll. So please close your eyes. Okay, everybody, no cheating. You're integral, you don't cheat. And I want to ask you to raise your hand if you regularly attend a spiritual community of some type once a month or more. Thank you. Okay, you can open your eyes now. There were 9 hands that went up in this room. If I'd have asked the same question 150 years ago, every hand would have gone up, right? So something's going on. What's happening? So let's take a look at religion and spirituality, and we'll sort of define the differences between them as they've already been defined to some extent, and how where we've come from, where we are, and maybe where we're going. And I think this is worth looking at because part of what I believe is that if we're going forward and we're going to create something like an integral second-tier world, spirituality has to be a part of it. And in many parts of the world, we're in kind of a secular stage where spirituality is sort of not part of the mix. And we're reaping the rewards of that in many ways, and many of those rewards are negative. So the religions of the East and West, the major religions, mostly were developed between about 5,000 years ago and 1,400 years ago. What they primarily did was bring blue values into a purple-red world, into various cultures that were purple-red. They were magical, mythical in orientation. The deities described were mythic. There was a lot of focus on right and wrong, how to behave, and the values were absolutist. And there were a lot of rules, particularly in the West. Blue is the home of bureaucracy. That level of blue or amber is where everything is written down. There's no surprises. If you break a law, you know exactly what the punishment will be for the most part. If you do the right thing, you have some idea what the rewards will be. So you can't go into court, in most courts of law, and say, I was ignorant of the law. See, that's not an argument that's allowed because there's a belief in the Newtonian kind of a world that's relatively mechanical. And that if you know the rules, you know the consequences, your behavior will be governed accordingly. And that was really a big function of the major religions, was to enable the development of the kind of societies that would create city-states and larger gatherings than tribes and so forth. How do we organize people into larger and larger groups as populations grow and markets grow and things like that? So because the blue value system was central, the tallest buildings tended to be the churches, and there was a reason for that primarily in Christianity, was to take you out of yourself when you walk into the great cathedrals like Chartres and other cathedrals, was to literally take you out of yourself, that you were so tiny and there was something so magnificent in the nature of the transcendent. The church or temple or mosque was very involved in most civic affairs. Okay, there was really no separation between church and state. Matter of fact, when the United States began, and that was part of the founding ideas, that was a very radical notion. So religion at blue, think of orthodoxy, think of fundamentalism, think of absolute values, absolute ideals and beliefs. We have that's the Cathedral of Chartres. You have Islam, fundamentalist Islam, Orthodox Christianity. Pope Benedict was pretty solidly blue, if you remember him, not around that long ago. And in the United States primarily, but now also all over the world, you have the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons, which is a very actually solidly blue cocoon for people that need that. It's a very healthy blue container for the most part. And they do a lot of good. It's kind of like going back into the 1950s for us when I would go to interfaith groups and the Mormons would be there. It was very interesting kind of a dynamic. But, you know, they're very upset with the way the rest of the culture is going, but their values are very centered at blue. Today, the V-meme stack, mostly in the developed world, is somewhere around blue, orange, green. You know, we kind of slide the scale somewhere. And I'm using the Gravesian colors, so please forgive me or bear with me or enjoy, celebrate with me, whatever you prefer. Blue is fading now in terms of influence pretty much all over the developed West. It's actually emerging in influence in what we would call the third world and aspects of the second world, where their Catholic Church is growing in Latin America and Africa and Asia, and shrinking in the developed West and Australia and places like that. Orange and green are growing in the developed world, but they tend to move around or leave. Okay, the blue values, the magic mythic God, doesn't hold them in place, and we'll talk more about that in a minute. And there's a decreased civic influence of religion in general, of religious organizations. Moving up the spiral, particularly to orange, has upended traditional religious denominations in a variety of ways and generated what we call spirituality as a business model. Okay, and here's some examples of the way orange can look these days. If you're not familiar, that's Joel Osteen and his wife. They have a huge church in Houston, Texas. It seats, it's an old hockey rink, and they fill it several times every Sunday. And The Purpose-Driven Life is a book by Rick Warren, who has Saddleback Church in Orange County, California, about 25,000 to 30,000 members. Okay, and if you go to Saddleback Church, as you enter, there are tables everywhere selling you things. Okay, selling you things related to your religion and so forth, but it's a very market-driven church in Orange County where people are wealthy, so you'll never hear the sermon given about the rich man getting into heaven after the camel gets through the eye of the needle. That's sort of left out. But the general tenor of the theology is very socially conservative. The prosperity gospel is the idea of a Christian approach that's often in the United States and elsewhere about it's okay to have money. God wants you to be rich. In fact, send me some. And the more you send me, the richer you'll get. Headspace. Familiar with Headspace? It's where you can go online and pay a subscription to get meditation practices. Okay, a lot of my Buddhist friends are kind of upset at that. You know? The megachurch phenomenon, primarily in the U.S., that tends to be in the suburbs mostly. The white megachurches are in the suburbs. The African-American megachurches tend to be in the city, inner cities. And then the play, The Book of Mormon, is orange making fun of blue. Okay, the play, it's a satire of Mormonism and Mormons going out on to their missions. And it's interesting because the Mormon Church figured out that they can advertise in the Playbill magazine and people will come and join the Mormon Church after seeing the play that makes fun of them. So it's kind of an interesting dynamic there. The emergence of the Green V meme, mid-20th century or so, has further disrupted more progressive traditional communities. Now, there's an interesting sign that I didn't put up on the picture, but there's a sign, it's sort of a joke of, you know, all the different masses throughout the day, and there's like 11 of them. You know, there's the traditional mass, and then the hip-hop mass, and then the progressive mass, and then the happy hour mass, and all that. And in terms of these traditional churches trying to serve everyone and recognizing that their congregation is becoming disrupted. We see a reduction in financial contributions when people hit the green level. They don't care so much about money. They've left the corporate world. They've become massage therapists. So they're still tithing, but they're tithing on a lot less in many cases. The demands for egalitarian leadership, the old style of the authority, standing up on stage and talking, doesn't quite get it so much when people hit that green V meme. And if they stay around, they want changes. And the challenge of being healthy at green. You know, green being feelings over outcome, quite often. If it doesn't feel right for everyone, we shouldn't do it. And if you have a mixed group of the different levels in present, everybody's going to be mad at somebody all the time. So green and religion looks like interfaith, very much all paths as you mentioned, all paths lead up the same mountain. They're all equally valid, you know, although ours is a little better. But, you know, we would never say that. The Parliament of World Religions, that's going to be in Toronto coming up in November, should be called the Parliament of the World's Liberal Religions because the fundamentalists and conservatives, by and large, are not there. OK, Okay, Centers for Spiritual Living is my organization that I am ordained in. It was founded in the early 20th century by someone centered at Orange, bringing scientific visualization techniques and so forth to aspects like spiritual healing and so forth, and part of the American New Thought tradition, which Unity is also, that incorporates an appreciation of science and things like that. And, but, you know, when the founder believes in science, that carries forward. So we had a lot of transition of people coming out of more traditional churches or synagogues into ours, and the initial idea of the founder was, let's use the Christian terminology. So we have churches, we have ministers, we have ordinations and things like that, which initially was very positive, but about the somewhere in the second half of the 20th century, it became more of a liability because the folks at Green were not looking for another church. They were looking for something different. Spiritual but not religious is a Green level phenomenon. And the current Pope seems to be kind of at Green. He's not doing much to change a lot of the doctrine and dogma, but he certainly is taking a more inclusive approach to his public statements and so forth, which is, I think, a very healthy sign, but it's not going over well at all in the developing nations, which are much more conservative, still in the absolutist blue level, and they're very upset with him. So what is your experience? Can we have the mic just in case someone wants to share something? But, you know, I just want to know kind of where you are. I know Europe. I live in France, which the current level of regular religious attendance is under 1%. Fortunately, the churches are beautiful and the tourists love them, and they're still tax supported. But there's also a lot of churches being converted into condos and stores and restaurants, which is also happening in the UK. There are real estate companies that specialize in church conversion. It's interesting converting a church into something secular. And the same thing is now happening in the U.S. So it's kind of an interesting dynamic. But, you know, anyone want to share kind of what's going on in your part of the world? Or, yes, we have a gentleman over here in the orange shirt.
I'm Victor from Singapore. Obviously, I'm going to give you a different view. There are people are leaving the churches in Europe and in the West, but in Singapore, a lot more are coming in. I can't understand it because in Singapore, pretty rational, and I'm a member of the church, but these people who come in seems to leave all their intelligence, their psychology, and the sciences at the door, and then come in and believe everything that says that the priest says, you know, all the mythic stuff. And they come out, they pick up their bags and go and do their thing in another mem. So I am trying to infiltrate this church. I don't know how. So perhaps you can tell me how to do it.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting, and I think what we find is people are a little more complex sometimes than the levels on the map. That a very common thing we see, for example, in the U.S. is someone is blue in their values at home, like there's really rules about dating my teenage daughter, but when they go to work, it's, hey, it's just business, you do what's necessary. And I think the same thing can happen quite often between how we see our religious practice versus how we see living in the real world. But what tends to happen as people continue to move up the spiral is that divide gets a little wider. It's harder to continue to believe in the magical, mythical thing. And why is Europe so secular? Well, World War I and World War II put a big dent in the validity of the teachings that were being taught in the major churches. The God that was being taught wasn't able or didn't act upon saving the people, and millions and millions and millions of people were killed. North America, we see about 30 to 40 years behind that trend, but going in the same direction toward greater secularity. Okay. Yeah, one more and then we're going to have to move along just for time.
Yeah, I'm Steve from England, and I go to a Chan Buddhist meditation group. And I find I'm always sort of monitoring myself in the discussion just to not talk too much integral. So I feel I can talk a little bit of integral, but it's a Chan group. And So I'm very interested in this integral church, and I'm aware of a desire to have an integral spiritual forum that I can go to regularly.
Yeah, and it's interesting because when we're on wherever we are on the spiral, we're looking for our own tribe. That, you know, it's been mentioned here a few times, but we're all not on the same level. You know, there's different value systems in the room. There's different cultural influences on those value systems, and yet we can have a conversation. So I had a center where I was the head minister that was a mixture of blue, orange, and green. So the moms that were at green wanted healthy snacks in the youth church, and the other moms wanted cupcakes with sugar. So I'd say, we'll have both. And the moms at green said, no, my child will not be in a room with cupcakes. And, you know, some bless us by coming and some bless us by going. So they, you know, that particular mom made the choice to go somewhere else. I don't know if she found a cupcake-free environment, but I'm not sure. So the U.S., Canada, and Australia are on track to experience the levels of secularization that we've seen in Europe over the past 60 years. Church attendance has been going down fairly drastically, and when you add in the millennial generation, it's falling off a cliff in terms of the numbers. The question not that I address in my book, and I do a regular blog on spiritual leadership, is really what can we do to develop the kind of leadership that can shepherd us through the VMEMIC changes in a way that encourages growth along the spiral, but also values the systems that are present. And that's a tall order. Let's be honest. That's a tall order. Second tier, yellow or teal, whatever color you want to use, spiral wizards are needed, but we're not sure what second people do in relation to spiritual community. There's no data that I'm aware of, and you know, a lot of them I think are just not there. And the question is, how do we identify them, and what are they going to do? And we just don't know at this point. I use the concept of the beloved community that was developed by Howard Thurman and Dr. Martin Luther King as an example of an overarching vision that can help to unite the different V-memes on a meme stack. As King said, our goal is to create a beloved community, and this will require a qualitative change in our souls as well as a quantitative change in our lives. And if we go into a spiritual community that's involved in, say, social activism of some kind or is involved in helping the poor or whatever it is, quite often people can get behind that. And then the organizational stuff tends to take care of itself. Without an overarching vision, the organization tends to be focused on organizational survival. And when people hit orange and especially green, they're not inspired by paying the light bill. At blue, you're just told we need to pay the light bill, you fork up the money. At green and orange, we say, well, tell me a little more about why we need lights, or why I need to be here. Or if that's the biggest idea you have, maybe it's time for me to go elsewhere. I'm going to skip that. So the question is, how will turquoise, everybody says, not everybody, but Don Beck said, and Chris Cowan said, and Claire Graves said that turquoise would be a very spiritual level, although they all said they had no idea what that would look like. And I think we're still in that, living in that question, but it will emerge. We know that if the trend continues, it will be a more communal level, a more self-sacrificing level. It will probably deal with some of the excesses that yellow teal bring to the picture. And it will also probably bring a more collective, global, and transcendent approach to spirituality. But we just don't have any timetables. We don't know what's emerging. And, I'm not aware of, and I'm not aware, it doesn't mean they aren't there, I'm not aware of any spiritual organization or significant-sized spiritual community that's operating at second tier at all. Because if you try to take Lalu's model and drop it onto a spiritual organization, can anybody in the organization make any decision? You know, you think about that. Okay. So I don't have my book here, but it is available on Amazon. It's called Creating the Beloved Community. My email is jimlockardtravels@yahoo.com if you want to get in touch, because I do travel. And this is my blog. It's on spiritual leadership. I incorporate a lot of integral and spiral dynamics, theory U, and a number of other things for spiritual leadership. And that's my timer saying I'm finished.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.